All right, guys, take a seat. How's it going, Shoreline? We ready for Super Chicks in a little bit? Minimal enthusiasm. Come on. Okay, thank you. It is chicken, and they do have custard. multiple choice. If you were not here last week, we kind of planned out three talks that all go together, and we put them all under the heading multiple choice. And one of the reasons why we called it multiple choice is that your lives are filled with decisions. Did you know that some nerd sat down and did the research and figured out that on average, the average American makes 35,000 decisions each day? You have made almost, probably at this point in the day, 32, 33,000 decisions. Should I hit snooze? Should I get up? Should I brush my teeth? Yes, you should. Should I take a shower? Should I wear a hat? Should I wear my cool white shoes? Yes, I should. Should I eat breakfast? Should I call my friend? Should I text my friend? Should I snap back? What should I snap? Do I like that picture? Should I send it? Should I? 35,000 decisions every single day. And so tonight's message is about helping you make good ones. Because those decisions can be good or they can be bad, but every decision has a consequence. But we're going to start off with a story. I'm going to warn you, it's a dad story. It's a story about me and my kids. And I know some people like to give me a hard time about it, so go ahead and groan now so you don't have to come to me at Super Chicks and be like, "What do you always tell stories about your kids?" It's because they're awesome, okay? And so we're going to get that out of the way up front. Also, fair warning in the story, I don't think I'm God, but I'm probably going to be God in the story. If we make an analogy, the dad will be God, and it's going to be awesome. That's just the privilege of being a dad. You should try it someday, okay? So here's the story. We talked earlier, if you, yes, someday down the road. We talked earlier about going back to school. You guys are not excited about that, and I totally understand. My family is going to family camp at Pine Cove next week, and so we, yeah, that's exciting. So we started our back-to-school stuff this week, and one of the things that we have done with our boys who are both in elementary school is every year at the beginning of the school year, we allow them to buy one new pair of back-to-school shoes. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And we let them pick out their shoes. But because I'm their dad, I always try to help them make a wise choice. Because you've got one pair of shoes, and that pair of shoes might work for you on the first day of school, but you want it to work for you on every day of school. And so I want to tell you real quick about my kids' decision-making process. And I think it's going to help us go where we're going to go in God's Word to talk about your decision-making process with your 35,000 decisions you make each day. So here's what happened is I sit my boys down. I say, hey, you get to pick a new pair of shoes. Do you have any idea of what kind of shoes you want? They're both huge Steph Curry fans right now. He's sponsored by Under Armour. So they said, we want Under Armour shoes. So I said, great. We're going to get on the Under Armour website in a minute. But let me just give you some advice. I'm going to let you choose. You're going to get to pick shoes that you love. You have the freedom to do it. And I said, but let me give you some advice. Number one, let's look for shoes that have good reviews. I'm a review junkie. I will only buy stuff that's like 3.5 stars or greater. 3 stars, not even going to mess with it. 4 stars, I'm okay. 3.5, I'm really going to have to research. But I said, guys, let's get good reviews, okay? Let's watch for that. There's going to be stars. And when you see one that has 4 stars, that's what you want to look at. Don't look at the other ones, even if they look fancy. Second, let's try to find a neutral color, like something black or gray, because you guys, I know my kids are obsessed with matching every single day. They wear the same color socks, shorts, and shirt. It's really weird. They're just like, just one color. And then if they don't, there's a little bit of coordination going on, but they're kind of freaks about it. And they get frustrated if their shoes don't match. And I'm like, kids, we can't magically change the color of your shoes. Like, you just have to deal with it. So I told him, I said, guys, try to get something neutral because you're going to freak out when you want to wear your green shirt and you got red shoes. It's just not going to work. So keep that in mind. Also, Let's get some shoes that are easy to get on and off. When I take them to school, our mantra is out the door by 34, and that stands for 7:34. And every day at like 7:33, 7:34, 7:35, there's this tension and stress that builds in the house. You guys know what that feels like? You're trying to get out the door to school, and do you have your lunch? Do you have your shoes? Do you have your this? Did you sign that? And everybody's trying to get going. And shoes are the most annoying thing, because if they have shoes that are hard to get on, every single day at 7:34, I have to get down on the ground and stuff their foot into the shoe. And they're mad at me. For some reason, they're mad at me. Like, Dad, just get. And I'm like, you push your foot. And then we start off every day with a fight. So I said, guys, let's look for shoes that are easy to get on and off. And then the fourth criteria I gave them as a wise, loving father is, listen, try to get shoes with Velcro. Because here's the situation with tying your shoes. They come untied all the time. I'm tying them for you. And the worst thing is the elementary school bathroom, your shoes untied, you're dragging your shoelace through urine, then you are putting your hands on other people's urine-soaked shoe. That's what happens in the elementary school boys' bathroom. Kids just pee all over the place. And so I'm like, kids, don't be bringing your shoes home covered in pee, and then I'm tying your shoes for you because you're in first grade and you still don't know how to tie your shoe. So, I'm giving them dad wisdom. So Cole, my seven-year-old, my sweet Cole, he listens to dad's advice. And we pull up the website, and here's what we find. We find the Under Armour Assert 6, all right? And this is a smooth, cool, black shoe. It's low top. It's not a high top. You're not having to stuff your foot in there. It's got Velcro, so he can just put it on and off himself. No pee anywhere on the shoe ever, except for the very bottom. And who touches that? No one. And I'm like, Cole, that is a great choice. Are you excited about that choice? He's like, I'm excited about that choice. Awesome. Chapman, it's your turn. So Chapman hadn't watched Cole, so Chapman comes up. I'm like, this would be great if Chapman could just pick the Assert 6 too, and then they both have great non-pee-soaked shoes. So I'm like, Chapman, what about the Assert 6? No, I don't want that. And so I said, okay, I've got another one. I kind of like, you know, previewed them. How about the Micro G Rave? All right, so that's this one. Still, yeah, pretty nice. Mostly gray, still neutral. It's got a little pop of color on the back. Maybe blue, like the Golden State Warriors. I'm thinking this could be a win for Chapman. Easy to get on and off. He's like, no, I don't want Velcro. That's for little kids. And I'm like, oh, the pee thing, Chapman. And he's like, don't worry, I'll keep it tied. And I'm like, okay, I'll trust you. You're going to be 10. You can do it. And so I said, what about this one? The Scramjet. I mean, this is the name, Scramjet. And it's got this cool, there's like a mesh on the front and the pattern. It's still kind of neutral, but still kind of cool. And you tie it. He's like, no, I don't want the Scramjet. What about that one? And he points at the Destroyer. Okay? So we have three shoes with 4 stars, the Destroyer with 2 stars. Everyone's like, the sole falls off within 2 weeks. It's impossible to get off and on. And I'm like, Chapman, this meets no criteria of a good shoe. Like, it's hard to get off and on. It's got Under Armour real huge on the back. Like, you're going to get beat up for that. It's stupid. It looks like camo, but not camo, and it doesn't match any of your clothes. It's way too blue, way too loud. He's like, I want the Destroyer. You said I could make the choice. I choose Destroyer. And he goes, if I have to, I'll pay for it. And I'm like, whoa. So here's what we did. Chapman knows that I care about him. Chapman knows that I tried to help him. But I had given him the freedom to make a choice. And I knew when he made that choice, he would regret it. As soon as those shoes came in, he might look at them for a second, but then as soon as he tried to get his foot in it, because we were ordering it online, what kind of idiot am I? We should have gone to the store. As soon as he tried to get his foot in it, he was going to be like, oh, this is hard to get on. I don't want these. Sorry. You get one pair. And I knew that conversation was coming. I gave him the freedom of choice knowing he would regret his decision. And so here's why I tell that story. How many times do you think this scenario happens with us and God? God has given us so much freedom. 35,000 decisions a day. And every once in a while, it feels like he's made a decision for us. And I know you feel like your whole life is decided for you and everybody tells you what to do, but you've got a lot of freedom and a lot of options. Your world is full of options. And God gives you tons of freedom to make your own decisions. And do you think you and I, do you think we ever make decisions? We make decisions knowing that it's not what God wants us to do. And maybe we try to convince ourselves that somehow it is okay or it isn't, but we make decisions knowing that it's not what God wants us to do. But here's what I know is true about everyone in this room, even though we all do that and have done that, is that none of us really want, like nobody would say, like, do you want to make bad decisions and have a lot of regrets when you graduate high school? No one would be like, that's my goal. I'm working on building up as many regrets as possible. I'm keeping a list. No one's doing that. You don't want to graduate high school with regrets. And so that's what tonight's message is for. Is there some wisdom in the Bible? Is there some wisdom from God's word that will help us avoid making bad decisions, that will motivate us to make better decisions, to make maybe the right decision that we know is the right decision? What does God want us to know? That's tonight's message. What does God want us to know to help us make good decisions? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the outline on the front end, then we're going to fly through it. We're going to look at Galatians 6, 7, and 8. So if you have a Bible, we're mostly going to be in Galatians 6. There's going to be a ton of cross-references thrown at you. You don't have to look up. You might jot them down so you can look them up later. But Galatians 6, 7, and 8 is where we're going to be. And then I'm going to tell you three things you must know. We all must know, not just you in high school, but every person must know if we want to make good choices and avoid regrets. Okay, so here we go. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. It'll be on the screen. This is a New Living Translation. It says this: don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. This is farming terminology. You plant a seed, something grows up. Whatever seed you plant, that's the thing that grows. Acorn, oak tree, peach pit, peach tree. Piece of corn, corn stalk. I don't know how that works. Sunflower seed, sunflower, whatever. You harvest the thing you plant. So the choice you make has a consequence. And then he goes on to elaborate. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desire will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. So if you make decisions based on your own desires, the result's not going to be great, but he says at the end, those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So we're going to break this passage down into three parts, and I'm going to tell you three things you must know to make good choices, okay? So let's look at this first part here. It's going to be highlighted on the screen. I want to key in on the fact that you will always harvest what you plant. And here's what I think that means. 35,000 decisions each day. I think that means that every choice matters. Every single choice you make, what time you wake up in the morning, what your routine is when you wake up, what you eat, what you wear, what you say, what you text, how you treat people, how hard you work in school, every little choice matters of all 35,000. You see, doesn't seem like that would be true. Seems like most of our choices are small and inconsequential. But isn't a seed a very small thing? But it is planted and it grows up to be the crops that are a very big thing, much bigger than the original seed. You see, our choices, guys, listen to this. Our choices are never just choices. They all of them become something more. Every choice you make matters. I'm tempted at this point to tell you stories, and I have them, of people who've sat where you've sat, and they've made one choice that really matters. The girl in my wife's small group who decided to have unprotected sex at her prom her senior year and got pregnant. And all of her plans for her roommate, college, rush, all of that changed. Right, and I could tell you story after story. And here's what you do when I told those stories. Well, I'm not going to make that choice. I'm not going to make that choice. And I think this message is about way more than just avoiding the few big choices that we think will impact our life. And I want to bring it back to these three words, that every single choice will impact your life. You see, I think this is a mysterious and powerful thing, how your little choices grow to be bigger things in the future. Your choices today are somehow, and I can't really explain it, but they're somehow shaping your experiences tomorrow. Your choices today are somehow mysteriously and powerfully shaping your experiences tomorrow. I think this quote is helpful. It says this: and I don't know who to attribute it to because online it's like 50 different people, but it says this: sow a thought, reap an act. So a thought is a really small thing and nobody even sees it. It's smaller than a seed. But that's where action starts, is thinking about something. And you have a choice about what you will think about, right? Did you know that? Because what you think about is usually a product of who you're around, what you listen to, and what you watch. The messages that you're letting come in your ears and eyes, that becomes what you think about. And you sow that thought, you make a decision to think that thought, and it turns into, eventually, an action. I'm not saying you watch a violent movie and then you go into a movie theater and you kill a bunch of people. There were a bunch of choices that leads up to that point. But I am saying you sow a thought, you reap an act. And then you reap an act, or you sow an act, you reap a habit. And then you sow that habit, you reap a character, starts to shape who you are. And you sow a character and you reap a destiny. Here's how C.S. Lewis says it in Mere Christianity. Pay attention to this. This captures some of the mystery and power of this. Every time you make a choice, 35,000 times a day, you are turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different than it was before. And taking your life as a whole, with all your innumerable choices, all your life long, you're slowly turning this central thing, the core of who you are, you're slowly turning this central thing into a heavenly creature or a hellish creature, either into a creature that is in harmony with God and with other creatures and with itself, or else into one that is in a state of war and hatred with God and with its fellow creatures and with itself. He goes on to say, to be the one kind of creature is heaven. That is, it is joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness, horror, idiocracy, rage, impotence, and eternal loneliness. Each of us at each moment is progressing to one state of the other. That's a powerful thought, to think that every time you make a choice, there is a part of you that is turning one way or another. So that is the first thing that I observe in this chapter that I think is helpful to everyone if you want to make good choices, is understanding that every choice matters. Here, let's go back to the scripture and we'll make another observation. Verse 8 says, those who live only to sanctify their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. Here's what I want to focus on here in this next point, is the phrase sinful nature. And here's how I want to explain that. I want to offer you this advice, that we should never trust ourselves to make choices on our own. And I'm going to give you a bunch of cross references to show you that this is true. You should never trust yourself to make any choice on your own. And I know that sounds crazy and extreme, but on our own, we are a mess. Aren't we? On my own, I'm a mess. I'm able to say that. Are you able to say that? Are you able to look in the mirror and be like, gosh, that person is a mess and they cannot be trusted to handle their life? Look at what the scriptures say. You see, in that verse, it says that it calls our nature sinful. So our factory settings, like our default settings that we come with, you get that when you open your phone or some new deal, it comes set up a certain way. The way you come set up, the way you are born, is to make bad decisions. You are by nature sinful, meaning sin is an archery term, meaning you shoot the arrow and you completely miss the target. That's a sin. You miss the mark. And so we make bad shots on our own. Look at what the Bible says. Romans 5:12. I'm going to give you like five, okay? So just jot down the references. When Adam sinned, Adam was the first man, the first person, Adam and Eve. When they sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, and so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So you are born an ancestor, a son or daughter of Adam and Eve, and you inherit what they have given you, which is a sinful nature. Romans 3:10 through 12 says, no one is righteous. You can't escape this, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. Wow, thanks, Bible. This is encouraging. No one does good, not a single one. Thanks, Bible. This is encouraging, but also it is encouraging because I feel that about myself, and you're affirming what I actually know in my heart is true. and I'm glad that I'm not the only one who turned away and hasn't done good. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? That's how bad you are at making decisions on your own. Proverbs 16:25 says there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. You and I are constantly prone to choose death in every choice that we have to make. We are terrible decision makers. Isaiah 64:5-6 says, we are constant sinners. We are all infected and impure with sin. Even when we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. Like even our best things, like our motives are bad. Even going on a mission trip to Haiti, we want to go on that trip. And there's a little part of us that the reason why we do that is because we want to feel good about that Instagram post at the end of the week. And we like the attention that we get, and we like the fact that people think we're doing good things. Like, there's a little part of us that even our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. So, every choice matters, and we should never trust ourselves to make our choices on our own. Back to the scripture, we'll make our third and final point. But there's another option here, right? So we shouldn't trust ourselves, so what should we do? But those who live to please the Spirit, they have a good result. They'll harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So if we shouldn't trust ourselves, what should we do? We should listen to the Spirit of God. Now, I want to hang out on this one for a second and answer two questions about this. Why? Why should we do this? And then if we believe we should do this, how should we do this? Like, who is this guy, this Spirit of God, and why should we listen to him? Well, like me with my kids, here's what I would say about God. Whatever you think about him or whatever you know about him, he's someone who knows better than you. He's someone who knows more than you. So maybe you don't even think he knows better, but I think it wouldn't take too long to make a case that he knows more. And so why should we listen to the Spirit of God? Like, I know more than my kids know. I know, I remember how getting ready for school goes. I know how their complaints go. I can hear the tape playing in my head. I know more than them. God knows more than you and I. I liken it to, does anybody use the Waze app? Come, who uses Waze? Okay, thank you. You should be enthusiastic about Waze because Waze is amazing. Waze is a GPS navigation app. It's turn by turn. And you might say, oh, I've got that on someone else. But does your other app, whatever it is you use, have a voice of a boy band that you can use? It says, in a quarter of a mile, turn left. That's amazing. You can tell it to sing to you, and it will sing you the directions, okay? At first, I was skeptical about Waze. I thought, I know my way around Dallas. I know how to use a map. Google Maps is enough. It'll tell me where to go. But here's what's great about Waze. Listen to me. Here's what's great about Waze and what it'll teach us about God. Waze, everybody that has the app, they're sneaky little fellas. And when you download the app, you have to give it permission basically to like monitor your entire life. But anybody that has the app, it knows where they are and how fast they're going all the time using GPS. So all the Waze users are constantly sending information to the Waze database that it's then sending back out to all of us. So you tell Waze, I want to go from 1320 North Cottonwood Drive to 7540 LBJ Freeway, that's my house, to the church, and it goes, all right, there's a bunch of other people on all the different roads that are in the pathway of that, and here's how fast they're all going. Here's the fastest way for you to go. So it doesn't just tell you like the most direct route, it tells you the quickest one, even if you're going through neighborhoods and stuff, because it knows the speed that each place is going and it knows the fastest one. So Waze is amazing because they're up in the sky and they can see everything all at once. And then they tell me, here's what you need to do. And I promise you, every time I don't listen to Waze, it takes me longer to get where I want to go, and I regret it. I was with Grant Hawkins the other day. We were going to buy in a rogue black market Nintendo Switch at Fry's, which is like an alternate universe. Have you been to Fry's? It's like bizarro Best Buy. They've got a restaurant in it. The tile's all funky. None of the people there like know how to interact with humans. It's so weird. But anyways, that's the whole other story about Amos Hargrove and how I got to buy a Switch from him. But we're trying to get there, and we're 5 minutes away, and Waze is telling me it's going to be 15 minutes, and it was rush hour. And I was like, no way, Waze, you're an idiot. It's 5 minutes. And I just started driving my own way. I'm like, I know, I can cut through this parking lot. And then I'm like, oh, you can't turn left out of this parking lot. And I had to turn around and go back. And like, I'm complaining about Waze the whole time when she's just like, I will help you. And I'm like, but Waze. In the same way that Waze knows more about the fastest route to get places, I'm telling you, God knows more about your own life than you do. And so if we should always listen to the Spirit of God, the last question we have to answer is, how do we do that? How do you know what the Spirit of God is saying? Why isn't there an app just called like Holy Spirit app? I download it, I put it on my phone, and instead of like when I'm driving, it's when I'm sitting in my room, and it's just like, you just turn it on, and it's like, I get it. You're trying to get in that relationship with that girl, but she is bad news, don't go there. And then you're like, thank you, Waze, God Waze. And you know, it tells you, why can't it work like that? It kind of does. It kind of does. How do you know what the Spirit of God is saying? Ephesians 6:17 says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between your soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So God uses, the Spirit of God uses the word of God to help you get to know yourself and then see where to go. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true, make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. That is how the Spirit of God guides and directs and speaks truth and direction into your life, is through his word. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So three quick applications for this final point that you should always listen to the Spirit of God. One is this: you should read your Bible every day. Have you heard that before? Well, why aren't you doing it? You should read your Bible every day so that the words of the Spirit of God are hidden up in your heart. And when you do have a choice to make, you have the voice of God right there in your heart and in your mind telling you what you should do. Because the Bible is full of rich wisdom and guidance and others who have gone before us and experienced many different things. And we should store that up in our hearts. So read the Bible every day. What's your time, place, and plan for doing that? That helps when you say, this is the time of day I'm going to do it. This is the place I'm going to sit down and do it. And this is my plan. I wrote down jointhejourney.com for a good plan. Read the Bible every day is a great application for making great choices. Number two is this: learn to search the Bible online. I am flabbergasted. As a youth pastor, I get questions all the time from teenagers and even college students that have been through, and they're like, hey, what's this mean in the Bible? Or what does the Bible say about this situation I'm facing? Or I had this argument with somebody, and I'm always like, why are you asking me? There's Google. Like, and it works, and it's awesome. But even better than Google, let me give you two resources that will really help you. The first one is this: openbible.info. openbible.info. And when you get there, at the top, you have to click topical Bible. But this is an amazing resource. If you can read it, at the top, it says, what does the Bible say about? And then you just type in anything you want. So I just typed in friendship. And then it just gives you every verse on friendship. What an amazing resource. So if you're having trouble with your friends, be like, well, I wonder if the Bible says anything about friendship. I'll go to openbible.info. You could do it on your phone. It's amazing. And you have this power. The other one I always send people to is gotquestions.org. Got Questions. And that one has an app. So you kind of do have an app. That's what I was saying. Download the gotquestions.org app. I just searched modesty. And it has an article, what does it mean to dress modestly? Because guess what? Here's why I put that in there. every decision you make matters, including what you wear each and every day out of your house, what you wear at the pool, what you wear at the lake, what you wear at the beach, what you wear when you're posting pictures on Instagram and snapping people. It matters. And God's word speaks wisdom into it. Remember, guys, we make 35,000 choices each day, and every choice matters. Every choice matters. And we should never trust ourselves to make choices on our own. And we should always listen to the Spirit of God. And the primary way we do that is through the Word of God. One more application for this last one. You read your Bible every day. Learn how to search stuff online. Find someone that knows the Bible better than you. Find someone that knows the Bible better than you. And when you have a choice to make and you realize, because sometimes you don't even realize you're making choices, but when you realize, I'm making a choice right now, say this to him. I want to please God. Can you show me something in the Bible that will help me make a choice? Help me make a decision. That's the third thing to do. Read your Bible every day, store it up, learn how to search on your own, but then find somebody. If you can't find anything, you don't have anything stored up, you can't search and find anything, you're going, I don't think God has any direction for me. Ask somebody else, say, here's the decision I have to make. Not do you, but does God have any direction for me? Because we should always listen to the Spirit of God. I want to conclude by telling you one thing that I think the Spirit of God is always saying. Because we just talked about listening to the Spirit of God. Matthew 11:28 says this. Pay attention. I don't want you to miss this. I think the Spirit of God is always saying this to all of us. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You see, we just read Galatians 6:7-8, which says basically what you plant, you're going to harvest. And if you've made bad decisions, you've got death and decay coming your way. And I know all of us have made bad decisions. We made bad choices this summer. We made bad choices today out of our 35,000 choices. And one thing I want to make sure you hear is that the Spirit of God is not saying to you, and too bad for you, deal with it. He's saying, tie your own shoes. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, I hate that you are carrying the burden of decay and death for the choices that you have made. I hate that you have regrets, that you wish the last year and a half of your life went differently and you'd made different decisions. I hate that, but I want to help you carry those burdens and give you rest. You see, the good news tonight is that God doesn't leave us alone to the consequences of our choices. He comes and walks with us, and he helps us carry the burdens. Most significantly, in the burden that he carried on the cross, paying the penalty for your sins and mine. That's what God has done, and he's calling each of us to come to him. If you've never come to God and said, God, I'm carrying heavy burdens. I've made bad decisions. I haven't listened to you. I want you to hear loud and clear tonight on the fourth floor at Watermark Community Church, God is not done with you. He's not mad at you. He loves you, and he wants you to come to him and bring your burdens to him and lay them down, and he will gladly take them from you and help you walk and show you where to walk. It's an exchange. You come and lay them down. And some of you guys, in your hearts, you need to do that tonight. Right here in this room, you can wait till you get home, but you need to say, I need to come to God. I'm weary. I'm tired of carrying heavy burdens. I've made bad choices. And God, if you say you'll give me rest, I'm going to start trying to listen to your Spirit. I'm going to start trying to read my Bible. I'm going to start trying to look for guidance in your word. I'm going to try to find somebody else that's following God and ask them to help me. I'm going to put you to the test and see if it's better following you than it has been following my own ways. And God is calling you. Come and do that. Maybe you've been doing that in every part of your life, but that one. And you've got an area right now where you have been making your own decisions, and you have regrets right now, or you have regrets coming, and you need to come and lay down that burden before the Lord tonight. So Chapman ordered the stinking destroyers, okay? And the day after that, we went to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Now, I don't know if you know, but they have the right stuff at the right price at Academy. And so we went to get Cole, his younger brother, a lunchbox because his lunchbox somehow smelled like somebody farted on a fish inside of it. And we just couldn't live with that for another year. And so I don't know who did it. If you did it, fess up. But we went to Academy Sports and Outdoors, Right Stuff, Right Price, to look for a lunchbox. And Chapman noticed the shoe aisle. And he said, oh, I wonder if they have destroyers here. I could try them on because they were still, you know, we'd ordered them. It was going to take 3 or 4 days for them to ship. And I'm like, okay, we can go to the shoe aisle. So we go to the shoe aisle and we're looking all around. There's no destroyers, but there's another shoe that catches his eye. And he picks them up and he goes, oh, Dad, look at these. These are awesome. He goes, look at this mesh. Feel how light these are. These would be perfect for gym class and recess and all the other things I do as a kid. He's like, these are sweet. And I'm like biting my tongue because what he's holding in his hand, here's a picture. Yes. The scramjets. I tried to get him to pick the scramjets. And I want to be like, yeah, Chapman, that's the one I told you to pick. But instead, I was like, oh, do you think that's cool? I'm like slow playing it, you know? And he's like, yes, these are so cool. He's like, I wish I would have gotten these. And so here's my choice as a dad. I could do one of two things. I could say this. Sorry, bud, it's too late. You've made your decision, and now you have to live with it. And good luck getting those stupid, ugly shoes off and on every day. So I'm not going to help you. And actually, Chapman, I hope you get blisters, and I hope your friends make fun of you. I hope you get a nickname, and I hope it's a terrible one. That's not what I said. I could have, and I would have been justified, but I did not. You know what I said? Do you want to get these shoes? He was like, yeah, I want to get these shoes. I said, well, here's what I got to do. I got to return the other ones. I'm going to have to call and cancel the order, or I'm going to have to send them back when they get here. Do you want that? And he thought about it for a second. He goes, yes, I want that. And here's the thing. That's the decision that some of you have to make tonight. You need to send back to the Lord a decision that you made on your own and give that back to him, and you need to receive something new. And he wants to give it to you. And he's paid the price with his son on the cross to make it possible. So he'll make the purchase. He'll make the exchange. You just got to tell him that you're ready. Last thing is we got in the car and we were driving home, and we've been trying to teach our kids about this but not hounding them. And we're driving. The car's quiet. I don't know. Allie and I are talking. And Chapman goes, thanks, Dad. I said, for what? Thanks for getting me those shoes. And he was like so excited. And how great would it be if all of us could walk out of the room tonight with that heart towards God of just like, thanks, Lord. Thanks, Spirit. Thanks for helping with the burden of my bad decision. Thanks for taking them from me, walking with me through maybe the consequence, through the decay, through the death that I'm experiencing, but giving me hope through them. Thanks for showing me a new way and making a way for me to have it through Jesus Christ. Thanks, God. I would love for all of us to have that heart and that excitement. But as long as you're carrying that burden yourself, you're not going to have it. So send the shoes back. God's got new ones for you, okay? Let me pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for your servant Paul and the many others who just were so close to you that they were able to pen things and leave a record for us of words that point us to you and words that really do come from you. Thank you for speaking to us in that way. Lord, I pray for all of us in the 35,000 seemingly insignificant decisions that we make each day. And I pray that we would be keenly aware of our own sinfulness, our nature, that we should never trust ourselves to make those choices on our own, that we would be reminded that we should always listen to the Spirit of God in everything, that we would be in your word daily, storing up truth in our hearts, that we would learn more and more how to discover what you have for us, that we would have people in our lives that would instruct us according to your word so that we can walk in your ways and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Hey, just a couple of announcements. We're going to be at church at 11.